Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
So today's January 6th, and the left is having a national day of grieving as if they oppose violence or something. They're also totally outraged that Donald Trump plans to pardon at least 1,000 participants in the January 6th, mostly peaceful protest. But before I get into any of that, I want to comment on how miraculous this day is. 4 years ago, the January 6th protest, which, yes, did get a bit rowdy, and yes, there were officers assaulted, although not at a deadly level, like, say, the Summer of Love, the George Floyd riots, in which 25 people died, yes, were actually killed, according to the UK Guardian. We'll get to that in a minute, but the last gasp effort by those who knew in their bones this election had been stolen. Folks, I've proven to you exhaustively over the years, I'm not going to go back and do it again today, that the Democrats used broken election laws and fraudulent ballots illegally cast to push Joe Biden over. But on January 6th, the last gasp effort to stop that election fraud failed. And the Democrats came to a conclusion. They couldn't lose. They would never again lose. And if they ever again got close to losing, well, they'd just, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, make up the difference in much the way they did in the 2020 election. And then they made a fatal error. They let it all hang out. They let Americans see who they really were. What we didn't know then, but we know now, is that they had another thing in their corner besides all those suspended election laws that allowed them to manufacture so many fake ballots or to get real people to vote illegally and swamp the polls. The whole time, the FBI was acting as the, quote, belly button, unquote. We wouldn't learn that term until the Twitter files came out because Elon Musk purchased Twitter. So on January 6th, we had no idea that the FBI was censoring every single social media platform, with the exception of some small ones like Gab and Getter that alone weren't enough to swing an election. So between the election fraud and the FBI's ability to just clean it up, and by the way, we would later learn from Missouri v. Biden, which is currently right now before the Supreme Court, that the FBI did act as the belly button, that they censored for over 40 entities, including the Democrat Party, the CDC, the NIH, the CIA, the Pentagon, the FBI itself, even the NAACP. And Democrats told themselves something that was actually pretty logical at the time. After the January 6th protest failed, the last gasp effort, they told themselves their reign of power had begun. They didn't need to sell the American public anymore on who they were. They didn't need to hide who they were, because that could be always cleaned up by the FBI for whatever agency or entity needed it. And so they stopped trying. They let it all hang out. They opened the borders, turning the border guard into little more than a valet service for their future voters. They looted the treasury, causing record inflation. And folks, people still don't understand the degree to which they looted the treasury. They not only increased the federal budget by 25%, but they introduced an extra $1 trillion worth of mostly printed or borrowed spending every quarter. There's four quarters in a year. If you're doing that, that's $4 trillion extra a year. I warned in January when Biden took office that they were looting, that they would cause massive inflation. I was right. By the time they were done in just 4 years, and even CNN reported this last week, they would increase prices a staggering 20.9% in less than 4 years, the Biden administration. But again, they told themselves they didn't have to care anymore. They could rob us blind. They didn't care if people could afford groceries. Everything was under control. The FBI was censoring. They had total control of search engines and social media. And should the American people figure out what was going on somehow, some way beyond that? Well, there was always COVID-style voter fraud. Nobody could take them down. Or so they believed. Fast forward to January 6th of 2024, just a year ago. And Donald Trump was something of a pariah. That's why Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley ultimately would get in the race. They weren't wrong to pull the trigger on it. Trump faced no less than 5 felony cases at the state national level. He was facing up to 700 years in prison. And though Elon Musk had purchased Twitter and reinstituted free speech, the platform now known as X was nowhere near the zenith of its power. The left felt safe. The RNC, Republican National Committee, was so disastrously run that they could barely raise enough money to hold the convention. Actually funding a presidential campaign for them looked impossible. After in a single month, they pulled in just $9 million, the exact amount that they needed to hold the convention, but nothing more. Donald Trump's own fundraising over the last 2 quarters had declined by 20% quarter over quarter. He wasn't going to be able to make it. Folks text me now and say, I always knew he'd be okay, but that wasn't obvious. And it was really easy to forget that. I can remember doing this podcast, heck, doing my show, because my heart broke to see him standing outside that New York courtroom. I'll never forget it. Alone, railing, angry during his trial. That was the Alvin Bragg trial, the hush money trial, the first one where they got him on the 34 felony counts with a liberal jury, standing outside that trial day after day. And he'd come out and he'd give a statement. And what was so striking was that he was alone. The only people standing beside him were Secret Service, people who had to be there. And I can remember screaming into the wind, wait a minute, the Democrats would never allow this. They'd have every governor, every prominent senator, every major Democrat face. They'd have Hollywood celebrities standing behind a Democrat. We did this too. Couldn't someone, anyone, go out and stand next to him? But they didn't want to. He was a doomed man. Slowly but surely, during that period, a few people trickled in, starting with Vivek Ramaswamy. But by and large, Trump stood alone. A subject, for the most part, of political ridicule. You know what's interesting? I can remember reading going into that trial that Trump was pretty much banned from Fox News. They didn't interview him anymore. They didn't have him on. They did cover the trial, of course, but they covered it like a trial. For months before that, he didn't even appear. He didn't even get to so much as call in. The Trump surrogates all but disappeared from Fox News, too. They were moving on. I'm telling you, folks, he was done, dead in the water. Turn on Fox News today, and it's kind of funny, given the fact that it's almost nothing but Trump surrogates on Fox News. Now, it's easy to forget any other time existed. I can still remember exactly where I was, hiking in Utah with my daughter in May, when we finally got enough of a bar for some kind of news article to come across, and she turned around and said to me, conviction 34. And I said, 34. She said, 34 felonies. And it was like I told you in the days I came back from that vacation, which was just a few days after that. That was the first sense of hope I had, because I knew immediately in my gut they'd gone too far. And I said, one of the first things I said when I came back was, they should have got him on one or two. They should have found a way for the jury or somehow to rig it, because the whole thing was rigged, so that it looked like the jury rejected the vast amount of the felonies or the accusations against him. It would have made it believable. It would have done so much more damage to him. But when my daughter said no, 34 felonies, I busted out laughing. I knew immediately they'd gone too far. And you know how they didn't know they'd gone too far? Because they'd censored all their critics. They had no sense or proportion anymore. It's why they'd also gone too far with the looting of the Treasury, the ridiculous printing of an additional, on average, $4 trillion a year, in addition to the more than 20% increase in the federal budget. How people suffered from that. And suffers still. Folks, I go grocery shopping. I have no idea how people are making it. I really don't, because we all know it's more than 20% increase in prices since Biden took office. But they lost all sense of scale. They lost all sense of proportion because, again, they had censored their critics. But their critics were slowly gaining back power on X. Fast forward to today, January 6th, not even 9 months after I screamed and yelled about Trump standing in front of that courthouse in New York all alone because he was a pariah and everybody wants to be seen with Trump. Fast forward to today and what happened this weekend, something I've never seen in my entire journalism career of working for newspapers and, yes, even back in the day, watching their editors work as gatekeepers. On the app we use here at the station to track what the top 10 trending stories are at any given time in the country, aside from the sports stories, they all had something in common. They were the same stories that were trending on X. In fact, something insane happened this weekend. Twice this weekend, a number one top trending story was whatever Elon Musk was talking about. One of them, one of the number one top trenders, the rape gangs in the UK, and Musk's battle to bring down the left-wing politicians who protected the mostly Islamic, mostly immigrant rapists. That story competed for the number one rank on and off all weekend with the firing of Gerard Mayo, who's no longer going to be the New England Patriots head coach. Not surprising that that was the number one story, but that kept getting pushed off the top block by, yep, Elon Musk again, criticizing 158 Democrats for voting to protect illegal immigrants who commit the crimes of rape and pedophilia and, yes, child rape from being deported. The 158 and his promise to primary them. That happened months ago. And I actually said on the air at the time, if the American people could only know, could only understand how the Democrat Party voted on that bill, that again would have made it an automatic under federal law deportation for any illegal immigrant who was convicted of sex crimes, rape, child sex crimes. Should be pretty simple. Democrats and Republicans should be able to agree on that. Well, not only did 158 Democrats vote against that bill, it was blocked in the Senate, which was then controlled by Democrats and never taken up by Chuck Schumer. The public didn't know this, but they learned it this weekend. It was a number one top trending story, and it happened months ago. They know it because Elon Musk happened to bring it back up. In fact, if you look at just about every political story that trended this weekend, it was whatever folks on X were interested in. Folks, I would argue this. That only has never happened in my adult lifetime where the public is controlling what the agenda is in terms of what the country talks about. And it's so true. If something's going to be a big story on Wednesday, it's usually trending Monday, Tuesday on X before everybody else is forced to pick it up, even if they don't want to. But folks, we've never had this in human history before, because we haven't until the last 20 years had the technology for the most powerful forces on earth to set the agenda. And those most powerful forces just being X accounts. And look, the deep state, the Democrats, the FBI had managed to hold that back really till about 2022, 2023. They can't control it anymore. No one can stop the truth, and it's changing everything. But here's the crazy part. I know some of you listening aren't Elon Musk fans, or you have your doubts about him. Probably pretty good idea. It's a lot of power for one guy to have. But you got to understand something. First, The anti-censorship machine, the First Amendment machine, X, took out the Democrats and destroyed any ability they had, along with the FBI, to set the agenda. But it didn't stop there. 3 weeks ago, Mike Johnson, who unfortunately is now our speaker, allowed the Democrats to write a horrific bill. One of the worst things in it was actually funding and reauthorization for a program in the State Department that would have censored conservatives and primarily was focused on demonetizing X, but also on demonetizing conservative media, so that no matter how many hits, clicks, likes X got or Breitbart got or the Daily Caller got, there would be no ads that would run beside those publications, effectively keeping them from growing. Mike Johnson and the Democrats, in a 1,500-page bill, tried to refund and relaunch that program, which was only supposed to last 7 years, and it was on the cusp of dying. And Johnson also attempted to print $110 billion for a bunch of new stuff in a bill stuffed with Democrat wants and needs. Folks, including an LGBTQ program to educate elementary school students on transgenderism. And we chop blocked it. 1,500 page bill went down in flames. Who did that? X did that. The small accounts, the medium accounts, the big accounts on X did that. Folks, that has never happened in human history. We have never had a day on the Capitol, not one, not in my lifetime anyway, when the people were the most powerful force. The only other one I can think of was after weeks and weeks and weeks of calling the Capitol switchboard to stop amnesty under George W. Bush, we finally defeated amnesty by one vote. It's the only thing I can remotely think of that's comparable. And we did it almost effortlessly in hours, exposed that bill, which means going forward, everything is going to change. On this January 6th, things are fundamentally different than they were on last January 6th. And they are a full-on 180 from where we were January 6th, 2020. If we can hold on to free speech, we don't ever have to go back there again. Now, folks, the good news is that lately, Elon Musk has been pressuring YouTube and other platforms to adopt the same free speech kind of guidelines that he has. It's not perfect on X. In fact, he's actually thrown out some stuff about algorithming down posts that aren't overly positive. I'm a little confused by that, I got to tell you, because his own account is kind of negative. I mean, it's scintillating. It's very interesting to read. I mean, you know, rape gangs allowed by police and the political class in the UK is very interesting. That's why his stuff trends, but it's not positive. So when he says algorithm down stuff that doesn't have positivity or isn't informational and then refuses to say what he means, there's pause for concern. But the good news is that Musk has even begun to pressure other outlets to adopt free speech as well. That's got to become the new norm in the world. If it is, we will stomp them into the ground. We'll never look back. So folks, everything that we've ever known has changed since January 2020. Pray we can keep it the same, because the future for humanity and for our country will be brighter than ever if we can hold on to the free speech we have right now.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.